Okay, Chav Ches Amid Beis. Amid Beis, next. All the way at the bottom of the page, three lines in the bottom of the page. Gemara is discussing if mitzvahs need kavana, if mitzvahs don't need kavana, if you can be over in Aveda of Baal Tesef after this man, like if you sleep in the sukkah on the eighth day. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara is discussing, the last thing we're discussing is if certain animals need one squirting, and certain animals need four squirting. So if one got mixed up in one, you do one. If four got mixed up in four, you do four. What happens if one gets mixed up in four? So one opinion says you do four, one opinion says you do one. So Gemara says, each one says to the next, but if you do four, maybe you're going to be adding to mitzvahs, because maybe you only have to do one. She says, yeah, but according to you, maybe you have to do four and you're doing one. You're also taking off mitzvahs, right? So Gemara is discussing, this is passive transgression, this is active transgression. You know, here you're just not doing. Here you're going to be doing. So the Gemara says now another concept. Rav Amar Rav says as follows. Lotzis liboy kavana. To be fulfill a mitzvah, you don't need kavana. Laver, to transgress a mitzvah, boy kavana, you need kavana. Meaning as follows.
Very strange.
He says, if you're doing a mitzvah, you don't need kavana, you're doing the mitzvah good enough. To do a sin, you have to have kavana, you're doing the sin.
Very strange. Even you do an aveira, do you have to have kavana?
Well, Rava holds, I mean, the Gemara is explaining, Abaye said before that if kavana is not needed to be mekayim mitzvahs, it's also not required to be over the mitzvah. Mainly it could be over the mitzvah, even without kavana.
Does that mean like
one second, so Rava says no. To be over the mitzvah, meaning to add to a mitzvah, you have to have kavana that this is what you're doing. In other words, if the person has to have kavana, he's doing a mitzvah, and he's doing it in the wrong time, like he's adding to mitzvahs, then he's doing an aveira.
He's doing b'shoigig.
Huh?
B'shoigig.
We're talking about the be'evid b'mezid. You're right. B'shoigig, he didn't know he was evid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here he's speaking to be'evid, the concept of b'alteisif, or b'alsigid, you have to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. The Gemara is going to anyway refute it. The Gemara says, v'matan tamen Rabbi Yeshua. But by giving the adding of the blood, right? Because he doesn't want to give the extra givings of the squirting. And yet, v'leibai kavani doesn't eat kavana, and yet you're aivir. So Gemara says, Olam Ravid Ravid says differently. Lot says, to be yetza mitzvah, leibai kavana. You don't need kavana. Lavid bizmane, to be aivir a mitzvah, during the time of the mitzvah, to add to the mitzvah, Leboy kavana, you also don't need kavana. Shalei bizmane, not in the time of the mitzvah, if you want to be eved, the aved of Baal Ta'isif, you have to have kavana. That's what he says. Now that's a new thing. Amalei Rav Zeira l'shamei, Rav Zeira said to his shamis, he kavin v'tkiyali, have kavana and blow shofar for me. Okay? In other words, I want you to have kavana that you're blowing the shofar for me to be yetzer the mitzvah. That's what Rab Zeira told him.
So this Gemara, is
but
this is the thing.
Well, we don't know yet. So the Gemara asks, Alma Kasavar, from here you see Mashmiya boy kavana, that even the blower needs kavana. Not only the listener of shofar,
yeah,
but even the blower needs kavana. So the Gemara says, Meis, I'll ask you a question. It says, "Are you even achure beis haknesses?" Somebody is walking behind the shul. Ishahayu beis is some of the beis haknesses. This place was brought down before,
mm-hmm,
or his house was next door to the shul. The shama called shefer, and he heard the voice of the shefer. Okay, Megillah heard the voice of the Megillah. Right? That means a guy in shul, mm-hmm, who is reading or blowing doesn't even know you exist. Mm-hmm. You're walking behind the shul, or your house happens to be next door. The guy's blowing shefer, and you're listening to the shefer. So the din is, im kivin libe, if you had kavana, yatsa. Vim lav, and if not, lo yatsa. You weren't yatsa. That means, the Brayta is saying, the listener needs to have kavana that he's ate to the mitzvah of shayfer. So the Gemara asks, so what if the listener has kavana, but the blower didn't think about you because he doesn't know you exist, b'chlau. In other words, how does Rav Zeira say, have in mind and blow for me? That means you have to have kavana for me explicitly. When over there, the din is that if you're walking behind the shul and you hear shayfer, you're yaitza. The guy doesn't even know you're there.
Yes, I have a kavana. Who's listening?
So the Gemara answers, Hara b'shliach tzibur askinen. The Brice is speaking a case of a chazan, a shliach tzibur. The daita kula alma, that he's thinking about everybody.
Yeah.
But in Rav Zeira's case, wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Zeira was a private guy blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So Rav Zeira said, now you have to have kavana for me. No, he's thinking. No. The Gemara is saying he think whoever hears it.
Yeah.
But if a guy's blowing for a private group, where your intention is only those people listening, so then the blower needs to have kavanah for you. So Rav Zeira said to Shamus, "Listen, blow and have me in mind." So the Gemara asks a different question. Tashma, come, I'll ask you another question. It says niskaven shemeya, if the listener had kavana, v'lei niskaven mashmiya, but the blower didn't have kavana, that means only the listener, or niskaven mashmiya, the blower had kavana, v'lei niskaven shemeya, but the listener didn't have kavana, lo yotza, you're not yotza, achi niskaven mashmeya umashmiya, the listener and the blower must have kavana. So the Gemara says, Ktani, so what's wrong? L'chair is good. The Gemara says no. Because Ktani mashmiya dumya de shemeya. It says in the Braisa we're likening the blower
to
the listener. Which means, ma shemeya shemeya la'atzme, just like the listener listens for himself. Meaning, he has kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. Af mashmiya, mashmiya la'atzme. So the same thing if the blower only blows for himself. Right? La uktani, and yet it says, La yatzi and at yaitze. Meaning, but the Gemara thought now, the way the Gemara is thinking now, it refers to this. The first case is when the listener did not fulfill his obligation, unless if the blower fulfills his own obligation. But when the blower blows for his own mitzvah, then the listener is automatically yaitze. So what do you see from there? You see from there, the Gemara's question is that the blower doesn't need kavana. In other words,
kavana is only a minute.
No, the blower has to know. It says the only kavana the blower needs is that he himself is doing a mitzvah. But he doesn't need to have kavana that for you to do the mitzvah. In other words, when the listener, the Gemara says, the Brice is likening listener to blower.
Mm-hmm.
The listener has kavana only for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the blower also has only kavana for himself. What does it mean the blower has kavana for himself? That he's blowing for the mitzvah. Right? Yet, if he doesn't have kavana for the listener, he's still yaitza. As long as he has kavana, that he's blowing for the sake of a mitzvah. That's what the Gemara is learning out from this braisa. That even if the blower has only kavana to do the mitzvah, but he doesn't think about you, the listener, you're also yaitza. Ayin Rav Zeira holds that the blower must think about you.
Yeah.
So the Gemara answers Tanoi, you're right. This braisa taka disagrees with Rav Zeira. But there's an argument of Tanoim.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? The Tanya says in a braisa, Shemeya, Shemeya la'atzma. The listener has to listen for his own kavana. And the blower just has to make it be heard. Okay? That means all the blower has to do is blow and everybody's yaitza. That means you don't need kavana. But Amar Rabbi Yasi said, no. When can the blower just blow? B'shliach tzibur. B'yachazen. But b'yachid, but if he's blowing for individual people, Layotza, he's not Yaitzachi is Kavan, Shemeya Umashmiya. The listener needs Kavana and the blower needs Kavana. So that's what Rav Zeira holds. Rav Zeira holds like Rav Yasi, that not only does the listener need direct Kavana, the blower needs direct Kavana. unless if he's a shliach tzibur, where he's blowing for the public, so then whoever hears it is yaitze. So the Gemara basically is saying as follows. When a guy is blowing for the public, the only one that needs real kavana is the listener. All the blower needs to do is to have in mind, I'm blowing for a mitzvah. Whoever hears it, hears it. If he's blowing for individuals, then the blower needs kavana, and the listener needs kavana. According to Rab Zeira. The Chachamim hold, even for individuals, as long as the blower is blowing with the kavana of a mitzvah, whoever hears it is yaitza. What?
Let's say,
By the way, 1 second. By the way, it's a big interesting shaila then. What happens if a guy is in somebody's house reading Megillah for just a few people? He's not a shliach tzibur.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting in his house reading the Megillah. And you happen to be next door. The guy doesn't see you. And you hear the Megillah. Are you Yates or not? So according to the Chachamim, you're Yaitzah. Because as long as the reader is doing it for the mitzvah, even though it's private individuals, anybody that hears it is Yaitzah. According to Rabbi Yaisi and Rabbi Zeira, you're not Yaitzah. Mm-hmm. Why? Because only a public figure can blow and everybody who hears is Yaitzah. Mm-hmm. But for individuals, the blower needs kavana and the listener needs kavana. What?
So let's say for Sfirata Omer, if a person needs to be Yotzi for the bracha of Sfirata Omer, so the Shliach Tzibur makes the bracha, is the Shliach Tzibur motzing the whole Tzibur with the bracha?
It says in Halacha that the listeners should have in mind that they don't want to be Yotzi with this bracha.
But let's say they need to be Yotzi.
If they need to be Yotzi, then it's fine. They're Yotzi with the chazans. Yeah.
But everybody makes a bracha.
No, he says if you miss a night, if you miss a whole day, then you continue counting without a bracha.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But some people prefer, in halacha, that you go over to your neighbor directly, so to speak, and say, have me in mind when you say the bracha.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because it might be that the Shliach Tzibur doesn't have it.
Right.
In mind.
Right.
It's only have in mind is 1 second.
To be mighty, that's all.
That's it.
Yeah. You don't need to go. The chaz doesn't need to go crazy the whole time.
Yeah.
He has in mind that whoever's listening is yaitzah to the mitzvah.
Right.
That's
it. So that's why if you walk behind the shul and you hear the chazan doing it, you're yaitzah.
Right.
Or if a guy walks in shul and the chazan doesn't even know he's there.
Right.
But he came in time, you know. But the chazan didn't see him.
Uh-huh.
He's yaitzah. But if it's individuals, then there's an argument between Tanoim and Reb Zeira Paskin that you need Kavana for both. Okay. Now starts a new Mishnah. This is the beginning of the Mishnah is a very interesting Mishnah. L'chein has nothing to do so much with Rosh Hashanah in itself. It says in the Pasuk, when the Jews went to fight Amalek the first time in Chumash, so Moshe says to Yeshua, you know, choose people and we'll go fight by Amalek. And Moshe, Aaron, and Hur went up. Mm-hmm. And the Pasuk says, when Moshe picked up his hands, the Jews won.
Yeah.
When Moshe bent his hands were down, the Jews were losing. So Aaron and Hur were picking up Moshe's hands. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara quotes, the Mishnah quotes this Pasuk, and says, let's see if it doesn't say why this Gemara says. But anyway, okay. It says, Vayakashe Yadim, Meshe Yadim, Meshe picked up his hands with Gavad Yisrael, the Eden one. So the Mishnah says, Vichyadav Shal Mesa, Asis Muhammad, Shavis Muhammad. The hands of Meshe made it break the war. What do the hands of Meshe have to do? He picked up his hands, he won, he put down his hands, he lost. I mean, what did Meshe's hands have to do with it?
Any prayers, you don't have to pick up your hands.
Well, that's what he says. I mean, so it says, what does it mean, Elalei Melech, to teach us the following? Kolzman, show you saw Mistaklum, Kabli, Maila, when the Yidden were looking today, Bishter, umishabdim eslibim lavim shebeshemayim, and they bound their hands to bound their hearts to the Eibishter hayim isgabim they want vim lav ayuneflim, and if not they fell. So in other words, Meisha's hands don't mean symbolically he picked up his hands, they won the war, because then Meisha Benu would just keep up his hands the whole time. What it means is that when the Yidden were looking to Hashem, so then they won. And they weren't, then they were losing. Similar, it says the similar thing. As we learned yesterday in Pirkei Avos, the Jews complained a lot, 10 times in the Midbar, right? So it says, so what, there was one time of an epidemic that the snakes started biting the Jews. So Hashem said to Meisha, say lecha saraf, make the saraf, v'simei say anes, and put it on a banner. V'haya kol anoshuch, and whoever would be bitten, would look at it and they would live. That means people were dying, so when they looked at this fiery snake that he made, they were alive. So again, v'chinochosh meimis enochosh mechaya, the snake kills you or doesn't kill you. I mean, what is it going on? What it means is, Alabizmashi Sam Staklum Klapi Milo, when the Yidden were looking upward to Hashem, Umishabdim Aslibim Lafim Shabishamayim, and they bound their hearts to Hashem. So then Hayimisrapne became healthy. Vim lav, and if not, Toyinamukim, they were perished.
There's no explanation to Chukim.
This is not a chayk. This was a fact. Meisha Benu was told by Hashem, make a fiery serpent, and whoever looks at it will get better. So he said, what are you, just by looking at something you're going to get better? So he said, what it means is, when the Eden bound themselves to Hashem, so then Hashem made them better. But not that the snake made it or break it.
Why when some ask a snake, what is a snake means? That,
the snake has to do with the original Chetei Tadas. You know, that's where all evil came from.
Oh, I see.
And the snake and the snakes were biting them.
Is it because of the snake, the lamella, the snake here?
The what?
The snake, because of the snake up there and here.
Well, basically the fact that it was high up meant that the Jews had to look upward, which is symbolizing Hashem. Okay. Now, after the Mishnah discusses the concept of tefillah, okay, what it means, davening, you know, davening upwards to Hashem, the Mishnah goes back to halacha, and it says, cheresh sheita v'katan, cheresh is a deaf person who's also mute. Okay, a sheita is a mentally retarded person, and a katan, a kid under bar mitzvah. So cheresh, sheita, v'katan, as a rule in halacha, are not obligated in mitzvahs, because they're not mature enough, they don't have the mental capacity of obligation of mitzvahs. And
don't pick on them.
Because start up with them, this is bad mazel. If you damage them, you have to pay, and if they damage you, they don't. That's what it says. So it says, Ein mitzin esarab m'yidei chevasim, cannot be made to people with obligation of shefer or any mitzvah. Why not? Because somebody who's not obligated in a mitzvah can't do it for a person who is obligated in a mitzvah. The same thing the Mishnah is not mentioning, but many mitzvahs, the same thing applies with women. For instance, women are not obligated to blow shefer. There's a mitzvah connected to time. So therefore, a woman can be the shefer blower. She can be a phenomenal blower, you know, a great blower, but if she doesn't, if she's not obligated in the mitzvah, you're not yetz. The same thing, cheresh sheita v'katan. This is the rule, the Mishnah says. Kol sheinu mechuyev b'davar, whoever is not obligated in that particular mitzvah, and a meitzes rabbi dechavosin, cannot fulfill the people, the public, with their obligation, which is a very simple logic. That's why a katan can't read the Torah, a katan can't read the Megillah. I mean, all the mitzvahs a kid has to do, he can't do, because he cannot fulfill the obligation of the tzibur, because one who's not obligated cannot fulfill the obligation of one who is obligated. There is an interesting concept, though, in halacha, and that is, l'cheira, if I heard shefer already, So I'm not obligated anymore in the mitzvah of shofar. How could I go blow for people that didn't hear yet? Mm-hmm. Or if I already heard the Megillah, so I fulfilled my obligation already. How can I go read the Megillah for people that didn't hear it yet? I'm not obligated. And the rule is, somebody who's not obligated cannot do it for somebody who needs to be obligated. Anything. So what's the answer? The answer is a very interesting answer. You're still obligated in the mitzvah. Why? Because, as we read in the parsha yesterday, the Gemara learns it out, that one Jew is responsible for another Jew. I'm responsible to make sure you hear shofar. I have that obligation. So if I have an obligation that you have to hear shofar, even though I did the mitzvah for myself already, I still have the mitzvah to make sure you hear shofar. And therefore I could blow shofar for you.
That's why we could repeat Kiddush for people.
Correct. Correct.
Even for women.
Even for a woman. But it's not so simple. It's not so simple because in the Rishonim write that there's no responsibility for women. A man, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that men are responsible for men. But basically it says women, men are not obligated. There's no obligation of men to women. Mm-hmm. So therefore there's an interesting shaila. I'll give you an example. We discussed this by Kiddush. There is biblical Kiddush and there is rabbinic Kiddush. Okay. Biblical Kiddush is verbally saying Mekadesh HaShabbos, Mizmor Shliyim HaShabbos, saying something about Shabbos. Even after you do that, the Chachamim said you still need to do it over a cup of wine. Yeah. Okay? You still need to do it over a cup of wine. So there's a Neidah Yehuda that says that what happens, so when we daven Maariv Friday night, we fulfill our biblical obligation. The only thing left is a rabbinic obligation. Right? Now, women are obligated in Kiddush.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it says, Zachar siyem Shabbos etatshe, Shamar siyem Shabbos.
Yeah.
Zachar v'shamar. So the Gemara learns whoever has to do Shamar, which is don't transgress Shabbos,
yeah,
is obligated in keeping, in making Kiddush. Now, if a woman doesn't daven Maariv Friday night, so she still has a biblical obligation for Kiddush. Because she didn't daven Maariv yet. The man has only a rabbinic obligation for Kiddush. Because he did Kiddush, he davened Maariv already. So now the question is, the woman has a stronger obligation than a man. So can a man make Kiddush for his wife? Because her obligation is stronger. And you need a stronger, at least as strong. So the answer is, but the man is responsible to make sure his wife hears Kiddush. Mm-hmm. But if you hold there's no responsibility to women,
why can't you make
Kiddush? So the question is, how can he make Kiddush for his wife?
Yeah.
So, but the Neidah B'Yehuda writes, it's a question if you could. According to the Alter Rebbe, it's not a problem, because Alter Rebbe holds that this that it says there's no responsibility to women is a mitzvah that they don't have to keep. But a mitzvah they have to keep, the man it has a responsibility to make sure the woman keeps her mitzvahs. Yes. That's why it's questionable. Let's say, according to this Neidah B'Yehuda, if a man heard Kiddush already, can he go make Kiddush again for his wife? Because he's not obligated anymore. And the only reason he could do it is because he's responsible to the women. But if you're never responsible to women, it's a question.
So he would say that why should say it for ourselves?
Right, but we don't hold like that, so it doesn't matter.
Just out of curiosity, can a man make Kiddush for a woman who's not his wife?
Yeah.
Not a problem.
It's always done. Okay.
What does the Gemara say?
The Gemara doesn't discuss it.
No.
Okay, so now the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, Rabbanan learned. Hakol chayavim b'tkiya shefer. Everybody's obligated in the midst of shefer. Kayanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Avadim, Meshuchararim, freed slaves, and I'll explain what that means. Tumtim and Andreigenis.
Tumtim and Andreigenis?
Yeah. What a... Tumtim is...
Have a...
No, that his genitals are covered, and you don't know if he's male or female.
Yeah.
So he has both signs.
Mm-hmm.
Andreigenis... I'm sorry. Andreigenis is in English he called... But they call him is hermaphrodite. Has both male and female genital. So the question is, one of them has neither signs, one of them has both signs. So the whole question, which one's which? Are they male or female? Now, so it says, all these people cannot fulfill their obligation. What does it mean here, freed slaves? We're going to discuss this more, by the way. What does it mean, freed slaves? The din is, if you buy a goyish slave, you buy a goyish slave, the din is, you give him a bris, he goes to the mikveh, and he's obligated in all mitzvahs like women. Mm-hmm. Every mitzvah a woman has to keep, he has to keep. If he's ever freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Okay? So the Mishnah is saying, everybody has to listen to Shefer. Kayanim, Leviim. And by the way, the Gemara is going to ask, why would I think Kayanim and Leviim not? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, they're also Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But it says in the Braise, everybody needs to listen to Shefer. Kayanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, Gerim, obviously now they're Jewish. Avadim, Shukhradim, freed slaves. Tumtim and Dreganis, because we don't know if they're male or female. So therefore, because maybe they're male, they have to hear the Shefer. A person who is half slave and half free, okay, is also obligated to listen to Shefer. Now, what does it mean, a slave who's half free? Huh?
What does that mean?
It's very simple. Two people buy a slave, and one guy frees him. So he's half slave. In fact, there's a whole discussion and argument between Bishami and Basilu. What do you do with a half slave and half free? What do you do with him? So one opinion says he works one day, he's off a day. He works a day, he's off a day. So Basilu says, one minute, you only solve the problem of work. But can he marry or can't he marry? He can't marry a Jewish woman because he's half guy. He can't marry a guy because he's half Jewish. What should he do? The Gemara says, he forced the second master to free him. But until that happens, he's still half slave and half free. Okay?
But is he Jewish? He's not Jewish.
He's half Jewish.
So is he obligated in mitzvahs? He's not obligated in mitzvahs.
Well, he's really full Jewish, but half of him is obligated in mitzvahs like women, which Shefer they're not obligated in, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's half of him is obligated in mitzvahs because he's a full-fledged male.
Why do you have to repeat over? Avudim,
no,
obligated.
First, no, he first he said Avadim Shukhradim. The first case is one slave was completely freed. So if he's completely freed, he needs to listen to Shefer. He's a full-fledged man.
Avudim is he's not free. Avudim is...
No, I mean, Avadim who is now free. He wasn't ever and now he's free.
Oh, I see. Avudim is not
but here is saying that this half slave and half free has to listen to Shofar.
Yeah. He's saying.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tumtum, Eina Meitzi Leyas Mine Veleya She'ena Mine. A Tumtum cannot blow Shofar, not for himself and not for not himself. Mm-hmm. Meaning, a Tumtum can't even blow Shofar for another tumtum. Now again, what's a tumtum? A tumtum is possible. The genitals are covered, so we don't know if he has them or he doesn't have them. If he's male or female. So because it's a doubt if he's male or female, he can't blow Shefer for a male because maybe he's female, right? But the Gemara is saying he can't even blow Shefer for another tumtum. Why? Because the other guy might become a male if it breaks through the membranes and it shows that eventually he's a male. This guy who's blowing may be a female. In other words, A tumtum, we don't know because of the fact. We don't know if he's male or female, because he might become male, he might become female. Andreganus, which has neither, is a creature by itself. So an Andreganus can blow for another Andreganus, because he's not going to change. He's an Andreganus, he's going to stay an Andreganus. Tumtum might become a male, because it's possible that it will break through the membrane that's covering it, and you'll see that he's a male. But one tumtum might become a male, one tumtum might be really a female. So therefore, a tumtum can't even blow for another tumtum. But he can blow for himself. Because if he's male, so male is blowing for male. And if he's female, it doesn't have to blow.
You don't be able to have children.
Right. Now, so he says, tumtum ena meitzi leyas mine veleya she'ene mine. A tumtum can blow for a mean, meaning another tumtum. He can blow for a she'ene mine. Why? He can blow for sure for a male, because maybe he's female. But andreganus, an androgen, what did you say, Than?
Androgynous.
Androgen, whatever. Meitzi yasmine can blow for another andreganus. Avaleya she'ene mine, but he can blow for a male, because maybe andreganus is a female. We don't know what it is. So basically, Gemara says, if you're in doubt, if you're obligated or not, you can't blow for another person. Now the Gemara says a very cute thing. A person who is half slave and half free cannot blow for another half slave and half free person. He can't blow even for a person who's not his type, meaning a full male. Now, later the Gemara is going to say, the concept over here is very simple. A guy who is half free, half slave, okay, half of him has to hear it, and half of him doesn't have to hear it, right? But when you blow, half your blowing is good, and half your blowing is not good. It doesn't work. So the problem is, if a guy is half slave and half free, he can't even blow for another half slave and half free. Why? Because, let's say it's Reuven and Shimon. Okay, they're both half free and half slaves. Shimon, half of Shimon, has to listen to proper Shofar. But when Reuven blows, each blow is half no good. So the half of Shimon that has to hear a proper Shofar blowing is not getting it from Reuven. Because half of each blow is not kosher. And we're going to see soon in the Gemara that there's an opinion that says he can't even blow for himself. He can't even blow for himself because half of him that has to hear can hear it from his second half, which is not obligated to hear.
He has to hear it from someone who
correct.
Is
fully obligated. According to one opinion.
What is the other opinion?
That he could. For himself, he could blow. But everybody says he can blow for a full-fledged Jew, and he can't even blow for another half-slave, half-Jew. I mean, half-freed. Because when you blow, by the way, it's not the length of it. It doesn't mean that if you blow a real long tekiah, so half is good and half is no good. It's in the quality of it. Each blowing is half this and half that. Each sound is half good and half no good. And therefore, he can't blow it. Okay, so now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Amar it said in the Braisa that everybody's obligated with Kiyush Shofar, Kohenim, Levim, Yisrael, and Pshita. I need a Braisa to tell me Kohenim, Levim, and Yisrael are obligated in Shofar. Like the Gemara says, Hihani le'mechayv. If they're not obligated, manchayv, who is? I mean, that's Jews. Kohenim, Levim, Yisraelim. So when the Torah says you have to blow Shofar, I need a Braisa to tell me Kohenim, Levim, Yisraelim. So the Gemara says you're right. I would think, though, that Kohanim are not obligated. Why would Kohanim not be obligated in Shefer? Because Tzalkadei Techamina, I would think, it says in the Pasuk Yem Teruah Yielochem, the Shefer should be the day of blowing. So I would think, Man Delesel B'Tekil Dechad Yem Ehudim Mechayev. I would think that only a guy that has to hear Shefer on Rosh Hashanah, he has to hear Shefer. But Kohanim that hear Shefer every day in the Beis HaMikdash, so for them it's not a day of blowing. Every day they blow. I would think the fact that there's Shefer a whole year, like it says, that every time there's a carbon oil, you're blowing the trumpets. So I would think, they're not Machayiv, Kamash Malon, there's a Bryce that teaches us they are. In other words, the Gemara answer is very simple. I would think that a Kohen doesn't have to hear Shefer. Because the Torah says, Rosh Hashanah is the day of blowing. So I would think only a guy that hears Shefer, only on Rosh Hashanah, he has to hear Shefer. But Kohen that hear it a whole year, maybe they don't. But the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. The Pasuk, they didn't hear Shefer a whole year, they heard trumpets a whole year. Chatzetzers.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara asks, Mi Dami, is it similar? Awesome chatzetzers. Over there is trumpets, and here is Shefer. So how can you say that Kohanim hear Shefer a whole year? They don't hear Shefer a whole year. They hear trumpets a whole year. So the Gemara answers, Ali Itzach, a different reason. I would think Kohanim don't have to listen to Shefer. Why? Because it says, Shava Yevol Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiel Brachas. It says, Yevol, they blew Shefer and Yom Kippur. But we liken Rosh Hashanah Shefer to Yevol Yom Kippur Shefer. And I would think, Man di Isa b'mitzvah say Yevol, somebody who is completely obligated in the mitzvah of Yevol, he is the one, Isa b'mitzvah de Rosh Hashanah. But Kohen and a Leviim, the Gemara is going to explain why. The Kohenim and Leviim are not obligated in the mitzvah of Yevol. The Tanan, Kohenim and Leviim meichem le'elam. They can sell their field at any time. The Goyan le'elam and redeem it at any time. Unlike a regular Jew, Eva b'mitzvah Rosh Hashanah le'lechayvu. I would think they're not obligated in Rosh Hashanah either. Kamash malon that they are. Meaning as follows. Selling property in Artesol that we learned about in the last two parshas, a lot of laws apply to Yevol. When you can redeem a field, when you can't redeem a field, how long you sell a field for, and so on. All those dinim don't apply to Kohanim and Leviim. So Kohanim and Leviim basically are not restricted by Yevol. So the Gemara is saying, since we liken Shefer to Yevol, so I would think Kohanim and Leviim are not obligated by Yevol. So therefore I would think that they're also not obligated in Shefer and Rosh Hashanah. So the Braisa says, no, Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, they're all obligated in Shefer. The Gemara's original question, why does the Braisa tell me Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim are obligated in Shefer? They're Jewish. So the Gemara answered, the final answer of the Gemara is, the fact that Kohanim are not obligated in Yevol, and we liken Rosh Hashanah Shefer to Yevol, so I would think if you're not obligated in Yevol, you're not obligated in Shefer of Rosh Hashanah, so Kamash Malon that they're Mechayev. And we learn out from Sukkim. In fact, part of the way we blow Shefer, but how you have to blow is because of Sukkim that are said by Yevol. Because the Gemara learns out, we liken Yevol Shefer to Rosh Hashanah Shefer. We had that before in the Gemara in certain cases. So therefore, I would think if you don't have to do Yevol, you don't have to do Shefer, so the Chiddush is that you have to.